Are you playing today?
Excellent.
Good. I'm glad we've got that all worked out then. Good morning. Good morning and welcome to Gates Presbyterian Church. Friends, whether you've been here your whole life or this is your first time, we are glad you have found your way to this worshiping community. You can learn about how we are church together. Your bulletin has announcements and a calendar, tells you more about our worship, fellowship, mission, and learning opportunities. If you have questions, don't hesitate to ask someone around you. There will also be an elder standing at the communion table following worship this morning. We have a couple announcements as we get started this morning. Buzz, all you.
We're having technical
difficulties. What if we gave him a different mic? Can we do that? Got it? I know. I could have given. Now give it a try.
Okay, I'll start over. I'm Buzz Bauman. On behalf of trustees, I would like to invite everybody to a spring cleanup day this coming Saturday, the 14th, at 8:30 in the morning. We will be here with lots to do for everybody of all ages. I hope to see you there. We're normally done by noon. Thank you.
You forgot about the donuts.
Donuts. I didn't say donuts.
You did not say donuts. That's the important part.
I did the first time. Donuts and coffee, juice, and other good things will be there for snacks.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Jean Buettner, and I'm here on behalf of the Spiritual Journeys Committee. As Christians, we don't just hope for things like better grades or good health. We put our hope in something, the promises of a risen Savior. And when we do our spiritual housekeeping, our hope grows both in attitude and in action. The Spiritual Journey Team invites all of you to experience the good news of hope in today's world. We're embarking on a 5-part journey beginning tomorrow night, Monday, May 9th, at the Gates Library at 7 p.m. Peter Reitmeier of the Monroe County Department of Public Health will speak to us about the $8 million Braddock Bay Project, which has successfully developed wildlife refuge reclamation zones. Tickets for all 5 legs of this new journey are on sale today during coffee hour. The cost is $5, so come on out tomorrow night and help us celebrate Mother Earth.
Thank you. Another opportunity to celebrate Mother Earth and care for God's creation next Sunday, 2 o'clock. Anyone who would like to come be a part of building the community garden, you are all welcome. And also, next Sunday, please take note of your wardrobe choice, because next Sunday is Pentecost. So wear your red shoes, your red shirt, your red hair, if you are so blessed. And we will also be celebrating the confirmation class as they join the church, and we also have an opportunity to celebrate 3 baptisms with them next Sunday, so you won't want to miss that. Now let us join our hearts, our minds, our entire selves to worship God. please stand as you are comfortable and able for the call to worship. The joy of our God is heard in the voices of children as it joyfully sings in our hearts. We come to worship our God and to celebrate the mystery and reality that is God's everlasting glory. The voice of God is heard in all creation as it responds with joy to the voice of its creator, sustainer, and renewer. We come to worship our God, to celebrate God's power and generosity toward all creation and all peoples. We come to worship our God and to celebrate the way we are welcomed into God's glorious presence. The voice of our holy God is heard in the sacred spaces, and God's grace is received as we worship. Amen.
Please join me in the prayer of confession. Loving God, we are shackled by noise and haste, confusion and uncertainty, tension and fears. We no longer know how to quiet our noisy hearts or calm our noisy thoughts so that we might hear you in the silence. When we try and try to do what you want, but feel we have failed, come to us in the silence. Let us hear the words, "What is your name?" and hear you in the silence. Friends, hear this good news. In Christ, God calls us forth from the tomb to the light of new life. The healing power of God's forgiveness restores us to wholeness. God releases us from the chains that bind us. We are set free to be children of God and splash in the rivers of life. Thanks be to God. Amen.
I'd like to invite the children to come forward, please. Come on around, everybody. Find a place. Thank you for the song. That was wonderful. How are you all doing today? What's so special about today? It's Mother's Day. I have a picture here I want to show you. This is a picture of my mother on her wedding day. See that there? Can you all see? My mother's in heaven now, and I miss her a lot, especially on a day like today. My mother used to love it when I would tell her that I love her. Do you... I bet your mother loves the way you look today. That's right. That's right. You want to hold the picture? You want to sit and hold the picture for me? All right. Thank you. So my mother used to love it when I told her that I love her. And I'm assuming you tell your mother you love her too. But she liked it even better when I would show her that I love her. What are some ways we can show our mother that we love them? Hugs and kisses are good. What else can we do? Make her breakfast? Oh, yeah, they like that. Oh, yeah, give them presents.
Make a present like a camera.
A present like a camel. I bet you lots of moms like...
A camera.
A camera, I see, okay.
A wheel camera.
Oh, help take care of your siblings. That's a big one. Do what you're asked. There's the number one answer right there. Mothers love it when you do what you're told, don't they? They tell you to do something and you do it without complaining the first time, right? Well, I also love Jesus. Is there anybody else here that loves Jesus? Oh, my goodness. Well, does anybody here tell Jesus that they love him? Does anybody say, Jesus, I love you? What are some ways that we could also show Jesus that we love him? Praying is a very good way. What are some other ways we can show Jesus? Teach other people about his love. That's a really good one. Take care of other people when they need it, huh? Be nice to other people. Make friends, yeah? That's right. There's a lot of ways that we can show Jesus we love him. Eat lunch. Yeah, Jesus wants us to eat our lunch. That's true. And eat dessert. That's even better. I bet you he wants that even more. Yep. So Jesus likes to hear us say that we love him, and he likes us to show that we love him too, right? That's important. So let's have a prayer. You ready? Okay. Dear Jesus, we love you. Help us to show our mothers that we love them. And help us to show that we love you too. Amen. Okay, you pray for your sister.
Thank you for holding my picture.
Okay, you guys are all going to go to the adult lounge today. If you don't know where the adult lounge is, follow an older person, older than you, who may know. Thank you, everyone.
The first reading for this morning is from Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He takes Lebanon and makes it skip like a calf. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. the Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all say, glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people.
Our second reading of the Word today comes from the Gospel of Mark. They came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when he had stepped out of the boat, immediately a man came out of the tombs with an unclean spirit and met Jesus. This man lived among the tombs. No one could restrain him anymore, even with a chain, for he had often been restrained with shackles and chains. But the chains he wrenched apart and the shackles he broke in pieces. No one had the strength to subdue him. Night and day, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always howling, bruising himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and bowed down before him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "Why have you done this to me, Jesus? What have you done, Son of the Most High God? I adjure you by God, do not torment me." For he had said to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And then Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" He replied, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he begged him earnestly not to send them out of the country. Now there on the hillside, a great herd of swine was feeding, and the unclean spirits begged Jesus, "Send us into the swine, let us enter them." So he gave them permission, and the unclean spirits came out, entered the swine, and the herd, numbering about 2,000, rushed down the steep bank into the sea and were drowned in the sea. "What is your name?" asks the man. Or Jesus asks the man he first encounters when stepping out of the boat following a turbulent adventure on the sea. In Mark's gospel, Jesus wraps up a long day there by the sea, teaching in parables about sowers and lamps hiding under bushels and the growing habits of seeds and other such secrets of the kingdom of God. And he gathers his disciples into a boat with no other explanation than, "Let us go across to the other side," and sets out on the Sea of Galilee. And what happens there out on this sea is that familiar story. The wind, the waves, the terrified disciples, and Jesus, who would eventually awaken to calm the storm and the fears of his friends. Now, the gospel writers don't say if the disciples themselves, upon reaching the other side, get out of the boat. Perhaps they have a well-deserved nap. Mark tells us that only Jesus gets out of the boat, and when he does, something more terrifying than a storm at sea is there to greet him. We can only assume it's still evening, and the darkness has now fallen. There the darkness hovers over that pebbly beach, the dry grass, imagine it, and the scrubby bushes flanking the openings of rock-hewn tombs carved into the bluffs overlooking the Sea of Galilee. Now, this is a far cry from what we imagine of the pastoral green hills of cemeteries today, with their neatly manicured lawns and quiet park-like settings. No. Here, the vultures are circling overhead, attracted to the aroma of a possible meal, and they disperse when this man emerges from this place of death. And the sight of the man, as Mark describes him, is just as startling as the surroundings. Naked, dirty, covered in wounds where the shackles and chains rubbed against his skin and where the bruises were, where he beat himself with stones. Now we know, we can assume really just assume that this man is probably struggling with some sort of mental health disease. And healthcare providers today will tell you it wasn't all that long ago when the mentally ill in this country were treated in such the same way. Friends, there's no missing the dramatic point that Mark makes for his readers back in the first community that would have read it and today about this man. And what he really wants us to get, to really get, is this man has been stripped of every shred of humanity imaginable. He's isolated from all human contact. He's chained and shackled like an animal. He even howls rather than using language. So there's nothing to suggest that despite God creating humankind in God's image, that this man was a man at all. He appears in this story to be void of even the image of God that makes him human. So when he approaches Jesus, Jesus does not appear to be repulsed or scared by this man. Jesus does not offer to calm demons obviously churning inside this man's body like he did with the wind and the waves at sea. Jesus does not offer a parable about the man's demons and how they are like vultures eating away at the seeds that fall on the path. And nor does Jesus suggest the man's suffering with mental illness are like the darkness, and all he needs is the light of faith, and he will be cured. Instead, Jesus asks the man one question. What is your name? In the book that many of us are reading about these questions of Jesus in the worship series that we have been participating in the past few weeks, the book, What Did Jesus Ask?, the author for this morning, Yolanda Pierce, writes about the question, what is your name, by saying, while Jesus sees the man's distressing condition by asking for his name, Jesus sees beyond the man's physical circumstances and psychological state. Jesus affirms that this confused man is still worthy of dignity, respect, and restoration to his rightful name and identity. And while the reader never learns his rightful name, we do learn that respect and dignity have been fully restored to him by Jesus. This question, what is your name, shifts our attention from all the questions we might have about this story, right? The so-called demon possession and what that has to do with a lot of wasted bacon that floats away out at sea. This question, what is your name, focuses us on the healing power of being seen as fully human, worthy of love and recognition, especially for those in this story who are suffering with mental illness. The biblical story is dramatic, it's theatric, and no doubt that we ourselves have encountered people within our community and maybe our families for whom mental illness has taken this kind of dramatic toll. But the reality is that for most people suffering from mental illness, they suffer silently. Their day-to-day lives, trying to maintain the facade of normal, and they keep those struggles hidden. And there are a lot of reasons for this. One of the big ones is because We're so afraid of what people might say or think. There's been so many strides for awareness and education about the stigmas and stereotypes. This month is Mental Illness Awareness Month. There was a great march on Saturday yesterday, raising more education and awareness. But there's still so much that needs to be done. So many who still say that mental illness isn't real, it's just in people's heads. Still, the words crazy, mental are used. Then there are the shameful comments that, you know, everyone today has these diagnoses of bipolar, depression. It's really just another excuse for people to be lazy. The shaming and stigmas and stereotypes, they all lead to that loneliness, the isolation, the feelings like who they are is less than human, that they are their disease instead of a child of God. So I admit this may not be the sermon you were expecting as you walked in on this Mother's Day, but for me, as a mom, this story is personal and part of my journey of becoming a mother. After a few months, when our first daughter Lily was born, I struggled with postpartum depression and anxiety. In a combination of therapy and medication, I was able to manage the symptoms. But many people who I know and love are not quite as fortunate. There are many stories in my family of mental illness, depression, post-traumatic stress disorder as the result of combat or sexual abuse, borderline personality disorders. People don't like to talk about these struggles, and they go undiagnosed, under-medicated, over-medicated, self-medicated with drugs and alcohol. And I don't share my story about this very often, for the same reasons that everyone else stays silent. I'm afraid what other people might think when they find out that this is part of who I am and part of my family. But a friend of mine challenged me on this one day. She said, "What kind of message does that send to your kids or your congregation? Melissa, you tell people all the time that we're all broken people, and God keeps loving us. It's okay for everyone else to be broken, but not you." How tempting it is to take the easier way out, to keep silence, to not always be honest about my own brokenness and the pain of life involved with being a mom or a daughter, a family member, who either suffers with personally or in a family system where there is mental illness. How much easier it is to ignore the fact that as communities of faith, we have often reinforced that silence by not always being a safe place of acceptance to hear people's stories, to pretend on a day like today that Mother's Day is just about all the happy and the flowers and the chocolates and the meals. When some of us woke up this morning going, ugh. Because we're mothers, we're grandmothers, we're daughters, we're aunties, and our hearts have been broken watching those we struggle to the point of death with a disease that strips their humanity, to the point that they don't recognize, or we don't recognize, the name which we have been given. And I'm not just speaking to the ladies. Guys, this is just as true for you too. But this morning, Jesus invites us, through this very strange story on Mother's Day, to be part of a healing process, to hear for ourselves and for those we love that we are first and foremost children of God. We are fully loved and created by God, and nothing in all creation can separate us from the love of God in Jesus Christ. So as family members and as a church, we can commit ourselves to seeing one another first and foremost as God sees us. That even when it appears that someone we love or want to love so desperately has lost all that is recognizably human, they are still named a child of God. And this work is humbling. It's challenging. At times it bears open our vulnerabilities and brokenness that we would rather not name. But we must continue to remember and remind one another that there is no name more powerful, more important, or more healing than child of God. May it be so for you, for me, for all of creation. Amen. And as we open our ears to hear the voice of God, we recognize that we also hear it through the voices of others. And this time, you're invited to share your prayers of joy, your prayers of concern. Raise your hand so the usher can see you. If you're able, please stand and hold that microphone close so that we can hear and share in these prayers together.
Marge Westfall, I'd like to thank all the money people here who sent me cards and greetings and phone calls while I was in for a while. Thank you all very, very much. You're a loving group, every one of you.
We love you, Marge. Welcome home.
Kate Stanford, I want to echo what Melissa said during her sermon. I'm a mental health counselor. This week alone, I've had 3 suicidal patients and 1 hospitalized in the psych ward at Rochester General. I just ask for prayers for them that they can get through this and that all of those that struggle with mental illness can feel our prayers. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. And we have prayers from our children today. Just 1. Prayers of joy for new baby cousins and 1 prayer of concern for sunburns. Amen. Let us continue our time of prayer together. Holy One, we gather in your presence to give you thanks and celebrate the gift of your love, a love that supports, nurtures, challenges us in ways that strengthen and transform us to work for peace and justice for all your children. We offer you praise and thanksgiving for your unfailing presence in our lives and all the blessings you so generously offer. Today, as we celebrate Mother's Day, we give thanks for the mothers the world over. We give thanks for those who have nurtured and cared for us, remembering especially birth mothers and adoptive mothers, surrogate mothers, aunts, grandmothers, teachers, neighbors, and all the women who have shared their faith with us. We pray, compassionate God, for the mothers who have been hurt, disillusioned or disappointed in their role as mother. We pray for those who have been denied a long chance at motherhood, for those whose years of mothering have been cut short by the loss of a child. We lift up before you, O God, the members of our human family around the world, for those who are afflicted and suffering at this time, who need healing, who require bread or shelter. For those living in violent homes and communities, for those who are grieving, and for those whose needs are known to you alone. Holy Mother and Father of us all, teach us with your healing peace and gentle embrace that we may walk in your ways, bringing dignity, justice, and peace to all corners of your world. And all this we pray in the strong name of Jesus, who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. God has entrusted us with so much. And at this time, we celebrate that trust God has with us. And we offer a portion of God's abundance back in celebration. Let us receive the morning offering.
Heavenly Father, we bring these gifts to you on this Mother's Day, and we thank you for all the mothers and all the mothers-to-be. And we ask that you would bless them and that you would use these gifts that we bring to help families and to help all in need. In Jesus' name, amen.
We go out into this world knowing that we are loved children of God. Go with your hearts full of that love and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the courage of the Holy Spirit, now and always. Alleluia. Amen.